I just touched somebody's life, not just at work, but at home. And they have an effect on their whole family and their whole neighborhood. Designers and architects, we have this effect on all these people. And really, architecture, we really need to treat it like public health because people
Yes.
spend 90% of their time indoors, and we created the indoors.
Hey there, it's Angela, and I'm so glad you found your way here to architecting. Creative careers can be stressful, and it's hard to be vulnerable, but this is your landing pad for raw honesty. I'll help you get clarity, reconnect with your passion, and have the career of your dreams. If you're ready to make a difference, have an impact, and say bye-bye to burnout, stick with me and let's get architecting. Hey, Bright Lights! Happy Earth Day! Welcome back. This is Angela, and you are listening to the Architecting Podcast, where we have on a very special guest, Steffi Reyes Thomas, who is the founder and chief of Holistic Design Consultancy, and who's also up to some really cool stuff with USGBC, where she's recently been appointed the chair of the Women Plus in Green. So welcome, Steffi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Angela.
Now, this is great. You have been a guest on the Architects as Healers, Buildings as Medicine discussions that my partner Megan Mazzocco and I put on, and talked a lot about how to apply holistic design in space. But I love your approach and I loved your story so much that I wanted to have you on architecting so you could tell us a little bit more about how you got started, what attracted you into this field, and ultimately led you to start your own consultancy.
I knew I wanted to be a designer since the third grade. I think everybody who's ever heard me talk knows that. When I found out what the word architect meant on a spelling test, I immediately said, "Hey, that's me." And I tailored all of my schooling and my whole life towards that. And I ended up in design, interior architecture and design. My degree is from Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, MIAD. The other school I went to, Milwaukee School of Engineering for Architectural Engineering as well. I worked in the industry, in the interior design industry for a long time. And I realized even before I started working in the industry that interior design was a massive polluter and the construction industry contributes about 60% of what's in the landfill. And I really wanted to break away from that. I really wanted to find a new path that wasn't a huge polluter, that wasn't filling the landfill. And it was really hard to find that path that was still in the design field. I went into landscape architecture for a little while. And that was awesome because everything I specified was green and leafy. At the same time, I knew I needed to be in interiors because I felt like I needed to save the world. So I'm here now. And like I said, it's really hard to find that path that was laid for me. So I really had to make my own path, which is why I created my own business.
Appreciate that you said change the world. So often we discount that or we minimize it or we make it wrong and go, that's silly or that's for somebody else. But I think we all need to look in the mirror more and say, why not me? Whatever you can add to the conversation, whatever you can connect or get done or accomplish, that's something that wasn't getting done without you. So I'd love it if you could talk more about having that courage to say that and to take a stand for that.
It's so funny. I bump heads with a lot of people in my industry. And I mean, it's all out of love, really, because I really appreciate what other designers are doing and the built environment. And you know, everybody's a wealth of knowledge in their sector. And I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else or I'm above anybody else. I'm saying that I cannot do what they do. I cannot simply put on the blinders and focus on what it is. I'm so distracted by the catastrophe that is global warming that I do not have that because I'm so distracted by all the, and I'm an artist as well. I might as well embrace that and move forward, knowing that I have to be able to do something because I can't just sit back and design pretty interiors. Like, I need to be able to also incorporate some sort of solution, even if it's just small scale from the start, even if it's just something that I do personally in my own life. And courage, I never really thought of that word in regards to my career. But now that you mention it, I am fairly brave because I stand up and I say blatantly in their face, reps, it doesn't matter who it is. I'm like, what are you doing? But not so much in a way that's putting them down. I really try to understand other people's perspectives and I ask why. And I do my best to understand. And I find that a lot of people in the industry, architects included, don't really understand the impact of their actions. Like I said, not to guilt anybody. It's beyond that. We need to move beyond guilt and move into collaboration because if people don't know or they don't want to know, that's an invitation for education. I really do my best to have those conversations. And I love to have those conversations, but I think I'm the worst with sales reps in showrooms because I'll say, oh, cool. You just pulled out a whole new line of plastic chairs. Is that recycled plastic? Oh, that's all new plastic? None of that plastic is reused. You just have a new, why? You know, and I'm very blatant in showrooms, so I avoid them. I
Well, I
avoid
love
them.
that you said plastic because that's actually the official theme of Earth Day is people versus plastic and planet versus plastic. More and more is coming out about how damaging this is. I just saw an article a few days ago about microplastics being linked very specifically to heart disease. It's doing so much harm, but this is decades of not paying attention to it as an issue.
And not only not paying attention to it, but literally the oil companies are, they don't want us to know that they're making money off of it. They don't want us to know that those are actually petroleum-based products, and that's what they do with the byproduct from all the oil, from the oil industry. So they don't want us to know that, and that's fine, but we do. And because we're so smart, there are so many ways that we can reuse plastic, and not a lot of people are. But like I said, it starts at a small scale. I really am a huge proponent of this. And once, as an individual, you feel like, okay, I can take this on. I can do something with the plastic that I receive in my house. I can wash it and reuse it or whatever. You can move into the workplace with that. And that's one of the things we always talk about with Women in Green. A lot of the times with Women Plus in Green, we have these small, sort of intimate meetups, sometimes 30 people, sometimes less. And we learn about different things at different scales. And some of the things we learn are pretty domestic. Some of the things we learn, like we learn about biodegradable women's products. We learn about all these different things that we can utilize in our lives. And it's small right now. You know, some of the things are very small, sunscreen and a tin, you know, but it's something that can inspire something a lot bigger. And you take those little things, these little virtues that you're learning at a small scale in the home, and you are able to scale it up at work. So it's like, oh, how do we reuse all the plastic rolls that we get that our product comes in? It's a mind shift more so than a textbook because we're approaching new territory. We're in it, really. We're in new territory of, okay, there's all this plastic. There's literally an island of plastic the size of Texas in the Pacific Ocean. We're surrounded by it. How do we utilize it at many different scales? That's where we're at. That's one of the things we're practicing at Women in Green.
You mentioned you've got to start small to go bigger, and it's so true. How you do anything is how you do everything. when you can become more mindful in your individual practices, it kind of builds that muscle to be more mindful on a bigger scale where you maybe don't have the same amount of agency as you do in your personal life. So I love the warm-up there that you're giving us. It really does matter because when you do what you just said and you start to say, how can we, how can we, how can we, instead of just accepting the status quo and not even thinking about it, that's when we can start to initiate bigger changes.
I love it. I love being chair. I've been chair for 2023 and all of 2024 here in San Diego. And it just makes me so happy to talk to people who are like, I had no idea. I had no idea that was even possible. I never even thought of that. Wow. And we're crowdsourcing and we're learning from each other and we're putting these things into practice. We're catching up and filling each other in. How did that work for you? Telling stories about what's being done in the industry, in the architectural, engineering, sustainability industry. And not only that, I mean, we're creating such camaraderie. We're also creating opportunities for connections, personal connections, professional connections. And it's a beautiful thing. It just makes me so happy. San Diego, I have some news for you and your listeners. San Diego Green Building Council has just been absorbed into the US Green Building Council, California. So we're now all one united front, which is great. So now we're connected to the people up in North Cal, to the people in LA, to the people in Orange County. And even though LA and Orange County is within 2 to 3 hours of us, we never really established like a real connection with them. And so all of the women in green committees are now planning to be connected as well, which is great. So now that hotbed of knowledge of these little practices and things can now be spread around the state. And now, you know, we have opportunity to have camaraderie all up and down in the fifth largest economy in the world. That's power.
That's so important. That's so important. As one person, you can do a lot, but when you begin to co-create and build a network, there's people to support ideas, to add on to ideas, to connect you to other resources. And that's really the key to getting it done, not being the lone wolf out there, charging the dragon, but truly being the person who's willing to be the connector as well.
I really resonate with that because in my industry and in my career right now as a founder in chief, I really feel like that lone wolf. I'm like, ah, with my lip gloss, like slaying the dragon because it's really tough. It's really tough, but I'm happy that I found community here in San Diego, people who inspire me. And I really consider all other interior designers, my community, everyone. I can learn from everyone. I can learn from the plastic manufacturers, even. Having that sort of mindset is what is able to take me from being, you know, hey, I'm versus everyone. I will fight everyone in this room. And more so, like, I will find a way to collaborate with everyone in this room because I'm open to learning myself. It's one thing to be just a talking head and just spit facts at people. It's another thing to be empathetic and to feel and to actually connect. Because, like I said, a lot of people don't know. Even if they do know, even if they heard a fact a long time ago, even if they read that 60% of the landfill is from construction waste, they don't feel it. They didn't internalize it. I'm here to help people not just to understand the facts, but to internalize what it means for me and what it means for them. And that's the only way we can make change is if people feel it and they realize, hey, I got to do something for myself too. Everybody else aside, let me do this for myself, for my family, for my children, for their children, more so than, oh, let me do this because it's the good thing to do.
We've talked before that you have a real personal mantra that it's important to stay uncomfortable. And I think what you just said plays into that so well. when you can let go of your ego, that's where the discomfort comes from. And when you make it about your ego, you're saying, oh, I could never do that. Or what will they think? Or what am I risking? But when you make it about what you're passionate about and about the issue and the cause, it's a lot easier to be an advocate. And it's a lot easier to do what you were saying, meeting people where they are instead of feeling like they're the enemy. They're your co-creators. They're just at a different point.
Exactly. I had a friend and her boyfriend. I met them for the first time and I shook this guy's hand. I'm like, oh, okay, what do you do? Oh, I work for SDG&E and he sells the big machinery or whatever for natural gas. This was like early in my journey. I was like, why are you doing that? And are you aware of what you're doing? Like, are you actually aware of what you're doing? And I came off really harsh and brash. Whew. It was a very confrontational energy. And I learned from that. And I went home feeling so bad. I'm like, I laid into that guy. Like, I really did. I shook his hand and laid into him. Like, that is not something that happens often. And I ran into that couple a few months later. And the guy, he thanked me. I was like, wait, what? He thanked me because he knew he needed to make a change. And other people had had conversations with him like that. And he changed industries completely. And he's now in like a totally different industry, doing something different. And he attributed it to me. Like I was like the last straw. He's like, I just can't take the social implications of my career anymore.
I love it.
Yes, big oil has become, a faux pas, and people are calling him out. People were calling him out personally. And he's like, I got to get out of it. I felt so bad because, like I said, that's not my intention to alienate somebody and to make them feel bad. At the same time, now he's doing something completely different. So.
Well, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So there you go. You were the teacher. As much as we do want to meet people where they are and co-create, and from whatever level we can help them make even the smallest change, that's something. What you're talking about is also that you're not for everyone. None of us are. And so when we worry so much about what people will think of us, or if we're going to make them uncomfortable by doing what we know we're called to do, we're really not being fair to ourselves or to them. And we kind of just need to let that go and say, I'm here on this mission and I'm not getting derailed by whether or not somebody else agrees with me. I don't have to make them wrong, but I also don't have to change to make them happy.
Yeah, you just have to connect. And if you don't feel a connection, then there's really nothing more to talk about.
Right.
There's
They're
really
just
nothing more.
not your people. They're not your
Have a
people.
great day. Have a enjoy, blessings. And that's fine, and still send out the intention, wishing you well. It takes a lot of courage to have those conversations with people. It took a lot of courage to shake that guy's hand and to call him out. Like, what? What? And it's definitely uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. We mentioned that before. Uncomfortable. Where I am, the way my life is set up right now, the way my career is, the way my bank account's set up right now, I am in a constant state of being uncomfortable, not stressed out. I have this other relationship with stress that I'm mitigating because stress is the more you stress out, the more it affects your health, right? So stress is different, but I'm uncomfortable all the time. I keep myself in a position, at least right now in my career, where it's like I have to reach out to that person. I have to talk about money with my friends and my colleagues. I have to talk about these things that are really important to me for my livelihood. For all of our, I mean, the climate change is for all of our livelihood, but it's like, I really have to have these deep conversations and it's uncomfortable. And because it's uncomfortable, I feel like it yields huge results because I'm always always stepping out into something new, and I'm challenging myself. I'm spreading myself, and I'm looking into new horizons. And I definitely wasn't doing that when I was at my cushy desk job. No offense to anybody who has a cushy desk job. That was cool with me. That was like the goal of my life, to have a really nice, cushy desk job. I can put my feet up and I can type and be creative and do my thing. But it's like life had something else in store for me, where I can still be creative and I can sit at my desk as long as I want, but I also need to go out and have these uncomfortable interactions.
Bumping up against that growth edge is how we evolve. It's how we make a difference. And there's a cost to the security, right? That desk job comes with handcuffs of its own. You couldn't do what you're doing and be this unflinching advocate if you had to appease clients in the industry the same way you just do if you are working at that kind of a job. We need both, but we're glad that you're comfortable being out of your comfort zone and willing to kind of lead the charge here.
Thank you. I'm not comfortable. It's one of those things where I like, okay, I accept that I'm creating literally a space, a container, physical space, but also just like a mental space for me to exist and to move past what I thought I could do. Let's
Right.
just say that I'm doing things that scare me. I'm doing things that scare me, and that's okay.
It's working, right? And a lot of people spend their whole career thinking, woulda, shoulda, coulda, or I'd love to, but. And I think you're a great example of why that's not good. Why you should say, well, if I'd love to, why don't I? If it matters
Yeah.
to me, why would I not pursue it?
I really am stepping out on a lot of faith, and I trust that it's all going to be just fine. I trust I'm going to land, and that's what it is. I mean, then that's something I've been cultivating personally for a long time. And for those people who are like, oh, I should, would, could have, should have, would have, there's this reason I can't do that. I'm doing whatever. Well, you have me now. Now you have me in your life for inspiration, for collaboration, for those big ideas that you don't think you can take on your own. And that's the thing. I'm a designer. I love the spaces, the holistic spaces that I create. And I really live for my clients, and I also really live for these collaborations. And that's the thing. I'm such a multifaceted person. There's so many different ways that I can get involved in different projects, where be it speaking, holding space, holding a container for conversation and discussion, creating the space for these conversations and discussions, and planning these things and organizing and connecting and communicating. And it's a lot for the things that really matter. I'm here for them. I'm here for your listeners, if anybody wants to reach out. And I'm here for you, Angela. And I love your ideas too, of how are we going to connect these architects who are, really making a difference, and people who are actually creating space for well-being first and foremost.
In the modern world, traditional definitions of career just don't apply anymore. And we are defining our own paths as we go. And what success looks like for me isn't going to be what it looks like for you or someone else. And not only is that okay, but that's a good thing because we all have something unique to offer by being able to put that together because we all forged our own path is going to be a lot more powerful than if we all followed somebody else's template and just checked the boxes and said, did it, did it, did it, did it. Now, where's my gold watch at retirement? I did want to give you a chance to talk a little bit more. You call yourself a holistic designer and talk about it as a lifestyle to just share a little bit more about what that really means and how it works.
Sure. I love to design spaces for the well-being of people in space. With that, I also really focus on regenerative practices. So, creating these regenerative spaces that it's going to spur our lives in some way. I've done a couple really bigger projects here around San Diego, and both of them have way too many plants. I say too many because for the normal person, it would be really difficult to maintain all those plants. But for my clients, they were planning to have help with plants and people, to come in. They have a system down better than I could. I'm not a green thumb kind of person, at least not in inside. My clients, they have so many plants, and it's one of those things. One of my clients, what she does is she has this propagation wall, and she's propagating all year round so that she has gifts to give to her employees and her clients. And it's all green and leafy and it cleans the air. And that's one example of regenerative. But it's like we had to create the space so that she can house 100 plants in her office, as well as her 70 plus employees who are coming in and out and doing the thing. That's an example of a holistic space. And I think we touched on this in our last segment. If there's a plant in the space, you automatically like you look at it, and if the plant is doing well, it's green and it's happy, in your head you're automatically like, oh, if that thing is thriving, I could thrive too. There's all these people who won't buy a plant for their space because they're like, the plant's not going to survive here in this room or here where I dwell. If the plant's not going to survive, what makes you think that you're going to survive? The plant needs water and airflow and sunlight, just like you. I like to drive that point home. It's one of my favorites.
Well, I love it because it works on so many levels, right? Some of it is actual quality of environment. And if the plant is in a toxic environment, you are too. But it also talks to care. You have to care for the plant and you also have to care for yourself. Our leaves don't droop to tell us that we're dehydrated, but
Yes, they do. No, just not
No, our ear doesn't turn brown and fall off. But maybe if it did, we would be a little bit more vigilant about our self-care because the plant is showing you what you're not seeing is happening physically to yourself.
For sure. I can go really deep into the physicality part, but that's the thing. I have to put on my proposals and my contracts and things. What I'm doing is healing. I'm healing people through space. But I have to say, this is not a cure. This is not a medical thing, so that people realize it's really on them to heal. We can heal ourselves. And so I never want to boast to somebody and say, hey, I'm gonna heal your whole life. I'm a doctor, because I'm not. Really not. But I've researched and I continue to research and I continue to keep my finger on the pulse, and I'm talking to scientists and I'm talking to other designers. I'm talking to doctors who are experimenting in their spaces, and I'm learning so much, and all I can do is pass along that knowledge of this evidence-based design, especially the work that's been done by the International Will Building Institute and all of their findings. They're coming out with big things, especially for residential. And like we said, when we start things at that smaller scale, those things trickle into the bigger scale, the workplace and beyond. And that's huge for people who are designers, people who are affecting spaces for other people, because we really are the conduit for this knowledge and how we shape other people. So then if we create a workspace, for example, I created that workspace here in San Diego, people are exposed to that space and they practice a certain cultural practice at work, and those practices trickle back into their homes. And so I just touch somebody's life, not just at work, but at home. And they have an effect on their whole family and their whole neighborhood. We as designers are very niche in that, designers and architects, we have this effect on all these people. And really, architecture, we really need to treat it like public health, because people spend 90% of their time indoors, and we created the indoors. Disease is on the rise, which is why I love that segment that we did. It's just such a huge undertaking, and it like excites me. I can hardly even speak.
I could tell. And that is infectious because when people see that passion, they not only see that they can do it too, but they're drawn to it. You really start to be a role model for other people. We're kind of like space shamans, right? Similar to how a shaman would work, using the natural environment, using ritual and symbolism to help with healing. We're doing that through the built environment. It's not only are we using materials that are healthy materials, but everything carries meaning with it. And the choices we're making are telling people, I'm safe in this space. I can relax in this space. There's so many ways we're providing medicine through our design choices. And we all need to elevate our awareness and be a little more conscious and also do that educating.
It's really a multi-generational thing as well. If I create a workspace and I affect the people in the workspace and they affect the people at in their home, they're creating a precedent for their children. They may say, "Oh, I love what my mother was doing in the house. I want that in my house." Or they may say, "I'm going in the complete opposite direction. And I don't want any of that furniture that she had or whatever." You know how kids are. Either way, we're creating a precedent, and we're affecting people who are going to be wildly affected by climate change in the next 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. However, now we're being affected by climate change now, right now. And I know that we're talking on Earth Day, and every once in a while with Women in Green, we'll host a climate cafe. I don't know if you've ever had a climate cafe, Angela, or took place in it, but it's one of those events where people get together, they sip on something warm, and we just talk about how climate makes us feel. Go around the room, how does it make you feel? The last time we did it with Women in Green, people talked about their children. It was just so touching to hear these mothers talking about their kids. And all we did was we just said the word climate. How does the word climate make you feel? And they're talking about their kids, and they're talking about their emotions, and they're talking about this and that. People cry because we talked about the word climate. It's so powerful to like hear how people relate and how people connect to that word, how crazy it is. It is a huge deal. And I think for such a long time, because we've been hearing about it, at least I'm from the 90s. I've been hearing about it since then. But it's something that we just kind of are like, oh, it's out of my hands, right? The big oil companies or the Walmarts, whatever, they're the ones who's doing it. It's got nothing to do with me. However, our spending habits, the way we move in this world, it does have something to do with us. This is like a very small, I mean, we're all small, but our buying power is huge. Especially here in California, we're the fifth largest economy in the world. If we can really unite on a lot of these things, we can change the world.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all this. I feel so inspired right now. And I love talking to people who have that world changer energy, but you feel it. And people who interact with you feel it. I know that the listeners will feel it. Tell everyone how they can connect with you if they want to reach out.
I am Steffi.holistica, Steffi, Holistica, Holistica on Instagram. You can go to steffiholistica.com, and that's my website. There you can find my portfolio, everything on Holistic Spaces Design Consultancy. You can book a consultation as well. I just rolled out a new consultation link so that you can book directly. It's a big deal because for 3 years, I was only doing consultations for friends and colleagues and family. And so now I'm really opening it up to my extended network, especially now in this time. What we're doing is so exciting, and there's so many different opportunities, and I've got all these different resources that I'm pulling from. I'm better now than I even was a month ago. Let's do this. Get a piece of this. I'm also on LinkedIn as Steffi Reyes Thomas. Please connect with me there. The conversations that we're having on LinkedIn are rich and abundant. And it's just so good. It's been so good. I've been loving LinkedIn lately because I'm an entrepreneur and a founder in chief. My career takes over, not takes over, but it is a matter of discussion in every relationship that I have, be it with friends, my family, my little cousins. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to. We somehow end up talking about holistic spaces design consultancy. So there's that. There's that. And I'm happy to have a conversation moving forward with you, Angela, and with your listeners.
Absolutely. And I always say, share your insights. When you listen to this, I know that you could not have listened to this and not had some powerful reactions. Share them, tag Steffi. She'd love to talk more with you. She'd love to hear what touched you from this conversation. There was so much. Thank you again for being on and for being uncomfortable. I think you
Yes.
really show what can happen when we step out of that comfort zone.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Angela. I appreciate you.
Take care. Bye. Thanks for listening. If you want even more content, head on over to architectingpodcast.com and subscribe to my newsletter and get some great free downloads while you're there. Be sure to follow me on social media on Instagram at Architecting Podcast, Facebook and LinkedIn pages are Architecting, and the YouTube channel Architecting Podcast. Stay inspired.